Reformed Church.
So, you know, something that was really prevalent on my mind, like I was sharing with you before, were pleasures, right? Pleasures, and that had been something that had been, you know, I had thought of on and off. You know, there's a verse in Psalm 16 that says that at the right hand of God there are pleasures forevermore. So you know that, you know, and you understand that God desires for us to have pleasure, right? And obviously that's pleasure in every area of our lives. God desires for us to have pleasure. But there's something, though, that is not normally understood, and I don't know how many people have really ever even looked at it like this, but that there is a difference, obviously, between pleasures and things that come from God, right? Like, in other words, joy is something that you can experience, right? A pleasure that you can have, right? You can experience overwhelming joy in your life, right? But there are people, and even Christians, right, that seek after joy, and that they believe that when they are experiencing joy or when they rejoice in their lives, right, because something good has happened, that joy has come from God, right? But actually that's not correct, right? Because you can experience, or you can rejoice, right, because demons are subject unto you, right? And it doesn't mean that demon being subject unto you was not of God. It's that you're taking your joy from that circumstance, right? And that is not of God, right? So the thing that happened, like, God could have caused you to prosper in an area. He could have done things in your life, right? But that doesn't mean that if you take your joy from that, that in itself is correct, right? So in other words, my pleasures, like, the Lord, throughout the time that we were away, there was so many times, I mean, it was just very prevalent in my mind, like, what I was taking my joy or my pleasure from. And I'll tell you a quick story. Just, we were in the middle of the buffet, right, one day, and I'm only sharing this with you because I actually had not shared this really much with anyone. But we were in the middle of the buffet, and there was an elderly lady that, you know, she comes over by the fruit, and I had seen a bowl there, right? And sorry, I'm like getting ahead of myself. So before I even saw the lady, right, I had gone over by the fruit, I had grabbed a bowl, and it was the last bowl that was there, and there was nobody by me. So I grabbed the last bowl, and I was, you know, it's not my job to refill the bowls, right? So I was just getting some fruit, and then I see her come around, and she has a walker, right? And she takes a plate because she doesn't see any bowls. And I said, oh, I said, I took the last bowl. I said, I don't think you want a plate, because if you have that walker, you're going to be, fruit's going to be sloshing all over the place. So I said, you want me to get you a bowl? And then she says, oh, she said, yeah. She said, why'd you do that? Take the last bowl. She was kind of just kidding with me. And then she goes, she waits, and I went, got a stack of bowls, and then brought them back. And then she takes her bowl, and she starts taking her fruit. Well, we just got to talking there a little bit, and then kind of backed away from the buffet and just kept talking. And as it turns out, she said that she is a minister of the gospel, right? I didn't tell her that I was a pastor or nothing. I was just telling her that, you know, I didn't even tell I was a Christian. We just got to talking about different things. One of the key interesting things that she said is, she said when she gets back, she says she can't wait to put in a complaint against the cruise line, because she said on this cruise, she said, I paid good money. I'm on a fixed budget. Said I paid good money, and they didn't pay attention to me as much on this cruise as they just did getting off. She got off for another cruise line, and she was saying they didn't pay attention enough to me. So she said this cruise has been horrible. She says they have, like, basically what she kept saying over and over again, they weren't tending to her enough. And what I told her, I said, you know, the interesting thing I said to her is, you do know, right, that you don't have to take your enjoyment from the things that are around you, right? The things that are around you could all be going sideways, right? And because you know the Lord, your joy comes from the Lord, right? You don't have to, your your circumstances don't have to dictate whether you have joy or not. Your circumstances don't have to dictate whether you have pleasure or don't have pleasure. So we got into this whole discussion and then got into, you know, other things. You know, it was the rest of the conversation was cool and some cool stuff happened. But anyway, the reason why I bring that up to you is because people in general, and even Christians, right, we have a really... We have a regular tendency that we don't know how to separate the things that are of God from the things that are of this world. We don't know how to separate pleasures that are of God or pleasures that are of this world. We don't know how to separate the two. We think that they're all the same mishmash of stuff, right? And the reason why that is important is because, think of it this way. If let's say you had no money, you were used to having no money, and now you have money, right? It used to make you unhappy before not to have money, but now you have money, right? So now you have it and you'll continue to seek it because now you have money and now you see that you have more joy. You have more moments of happiness than you did before. So what happens is you'll do a couple of things. You'll continue to seek after having money because you know innately, not that you would do it on purpose, especially as a Christian, right? But you know that if you didn't have any money before and you got money now and things seem better, then I must get more, right? I must have more of this, right? Because if I can have more of this, right? And you're not doing it on purpose, right? But you're kind of, you know, subconsciously, I believe, especially in the case of a Christian, if I can have more of this, I can be happier, right? If now there's a difference between that and I had no money before, but I was content with the prosperity and the power to wealth and all of the things that I had received from Christ. And therefore my joy was not dependent on that, whether I had money or didn't have money. That wasn't the gauge for my joy. That wasn't the thing that made me feel wealthy. That wasn't the thing that made me feel rich, was whether I had the money or didn't have the money. So therefore, whether I have it or don't have it, right? It's not like now, okay, now that I have it, now I have to begin to acquire things, right? I have to begin to acquire all kinds of things in my life, because if I can acquire things, again, my joy continues to increase, right? So when we tie our happiness or even joy, and just stay with me on this, right? That rejoicing and joy means the cause for your happiness, the cause for your joy, the cause of your rejoicing can be the Lord, right? The Spirit in you, or it can be the things that you acquire. Now, another example, why is that a big deal? Because we could say, well, come on, Pastor Jose, is that really a big deal? Okay, so you get a little joy from spending a little money. You get a little joy from having stuff. You get a little joy from getting new cars. You get a joy from having whatever. Why is that such a big deal? Because if we do it in small things, we will do it in all things, right? If you do it in one thing, so listen, if you buy a sweater, you didn't need a sweater. You're just like, I'm going to buy another sweater. And you don't like it, you could just return it, right? I mean, you could say, well, that's not that big a deal, all right? If I don't like it, I'll just return it, okay? I mean, if you're beyond the window and you can't return it, well, okay, now you just lost some money. But maybe you just lost, you know, $30, $60, $90 in whatever that sweater costs. But how about if you still continue to grow in the fact that your joy comes from your outward things, and instead of getting a sweater, now you get a husband, right? Because you're seeking after stuff, right? And you're gonna get your joy from things. And if we as Christians don't know how to separate between the pleasures that are of God, that are lasting and never temporal, and the pleasures that are of this world, just like you sought a sweater, you will seek after a wife, a husband. Now you can't just return a wife like you return a sweater, right? Because if you decide 2 years after you've been married that, oops, I made a mistake, not only are you beyond the return window, but now you probably have kids too, right? So it is not a small thing, right? To allow the Lord to be the one, and I'll show you this because this will help you, right? In Hebrews chapter 13, real quick, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, he says, and I think, let's read this in AKJV, if we will, right? Hebrews, I said 13, I think, right? Hebrews 13:5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that is not what people normally think that that means, because that means, you know, just be happy with what you got. Give God thanks that there's, you got air to breathe. That's not what he's saying. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What he's saying is, you have me, right? Like, in other words, I have come on the inside of you. You are mine and I have yours. And by having me, I've given you everything. I have given you all things to enjoy. And I know what you need even before you ask. So if you need a sweater, he knows. He, even the desires of your heart that are of God, right? He is the one that gives you those desires. And not only does he give you the desires, but he gives you the power. He doesn't give you the desire and they say, hey, can you go fulfill that desire? Right? He gives you the desire and the power. The desire and the power. In other words, it is God that adds what you need. It's not you that adds it, right? This world gets a wife. You are not supposed to go get a wife. This world gets a wife. You know, you can't return a wife like you return a sweater, right? If you do it in little things, you will do it in big things. If you don't know how to take your joy when you got no money, when you get the money, you're not going to be any better off. Because now you're dangerous. Now you have stuff. And now you're going to take your joy from it, and now you're going to keep seeking after it. Why? Because you know, we're not stupid people. Before I had nothing, unhappy. Now I have something, a little bit better. What is the normal thing to do? Get more, because you got a little happier, right, when you got some. So the only proper response is get more of what is already making you happy, right? But if we knew how to be content with everything that we have of God, right, Then you know what? It doesn't matter if nobody pays attention to you on a cruise. It doesn't matter anything. You could have your own fun, right? And I'm not saying that it's okay for people not to give you your money's worth, right? But what I'm saying is there's a difference between something needing to be corrected and you taking your joy from it, right? You taking your joy from it. In other words, there are people that say this, well, I have to get married. Well, I don't know. Why do you have to get married? Well, because I don't know. I'm tired of being alone. Well, that's your problem, right? Don't solve it by getting married to somebody. Don't solve it by getting into a relationship. Your problem is you don't know how to live between you and God. In other words, he's not enough for you right now. So we haven't learned the art of sufficiency, right? We haven't learned how to live sufficient. Content, right? He said, be content with such things as you have, because in other words, the Lord is saying, you have me. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And then you know what happens? When the Lord adds a husband or a wife to you, right? Then it's not about what you're getting from that person. It's what you can give to that person out of the abundance of what you have. That's a huge difference, right? Marriages and relationships fail because it's about what we can suck out of one another, right? It's the life that we can siphon out of each other because, you know, anyway, we complete one another, right? But that's bogus hogwash, right? You don't complete one another. The Lord is the one that made you whole. You are complete in him. Another person doesn't complete you. You're complete in him. We get to love one another, right? The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving another comes from faith. Loving others comes from faith, right? Loving others comes from faith. It's not the other way around, right? Not the other way around. And you know, the reason why, and I know we've talked about subjects like this before, but the thing is, you know what? In financial things, in things having to do with relationships, right? Imagine how different our lives could be if what we looked at was allowing the Lord to solve the root issue, right? If we're people that don't know how to be alone, right? Then imagine how awesome it would be to allow the Lord to be our sufficiency. In other words, Christians say that, right? Christians say the Lord's my sufficiency, but if they don't have money, they're depressed, right? If they don't have somebody next to them constantly, they're depressed. If they don't have somebody that can meet their needs, physically speaking, they're depressed, right? So people say that God is their sufficiency, that he's their all in all, that he's their this and that, but they are the first ones to try to seek out right, to have something completed in their lives. We're the first ones seeking out relationships. In other words, we seek after the things of this world just like the Gentiles of this world, just like people that do not have God in their lives seek after. But he said, in Matthew, he said, don't seek after the things of this world like the Gentiles of this world live. In other words, they seek after stuff because they have no one to supply them, right? But he says, but you, he said, it should be different among you though. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I will add all things to you. And you know what that means is? That even if you find yourself prospering, that's not now all of a sudden, oh, this is my fountain and way to satisfy and get all of the things that I was not able to get before, right? In other words, my desire as a dad, right, began this way, but it didn't finish this way, right? Like my desire now is not to give my kids everything that I never had, right? My desire is that my kids would grow up with the inheritance of Jesus as their heavenly father like I didn't start, right? And I know I don't have to worry about their prosperity. I'm prospering myself, and I'll be able to leave them, right, from that prosperity, and they'll continue to prosper themselves whether I left them something or not, right? But it's a huge difference in the way that we think, right? Is that in many ways sometimes relationships are not even born from even just feelings, right? They're born also from, well, feelings, right? But also from indebtedness, right? From things that we think that we need either for ourselves or that we have to do to help one another, right? Like you never get in a relationship because you want to help somebody, right? In other words, marriage is not, I'm going to get into a relationship because I feel like I can be the one to help you. You are not Jesus Christ. Right? You don't get into a marital relationship or a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship with someone because you feel that you can be a help to them, right? That's not the way it works. They need to have the same sufficiency of Christ that you do. And the only people, the only person that a Christian should ever get involved with is a person that actually really doesn't need you, right? That's the mate for you, right? A person that does not need you for anything. Christ is their own sufficiency, and they weren't seeking after you and you weren't seeking after them. And the Lord is the one that has brought you together and made you of the same mind. He'll do that, right? The Lord will do that. We don't have to do that. The Lord will do that. Just remember, right? If we do that with little things, if we do that with little things, if we do that with finances, right? We'll do that with bigger financial decisions. We'll get ourselves in debt just to be able to gain things, right? People all over this world do it every single day. They need stuff so bad that they are willing. I mean, obviously, credit cards today, loans, all of that stuff is very, very, very normal, right? And I get it, that there are times, even because of where we are and our lack of knowledge, that sometimes a loan or some kind of a way is the only way that we can buy a house today. It is not really the only way, but it's the way many people do it. But even if it comes, if you put a house aside, right, people will go and take money from someone else to buy something that they can't even afford because they feel that they just can't live without that, right? And you know, I'll close with this. When you're on vacation, you see so many people taking so much pleasure from things, right? And when you begin to look at pleasures in this world in the right light, right, you begin to say, my gosh, you know what? I'm surrounded by people that do not know how to take their pleasure just from the Lord, right? They can only take their pleasure from things that are outward, from things that are seen, right? I'll give you this one example, right? Lately, I have been I've had a desire to like incorporate in my life certain workouts and things like fitness things that, you know, I used to do to a lesser extent, but I've wanted to do them more, right? But you know, the funny thing is, here's the difference, right? There's a difference between saying, you know what, Lord, this is your temple, right? This is your body, right? Therefore, I'm going to take care of it, and I don't want to do things to abuse it, right? Because that's not the desires that you put on the inside of me. There's a difference between that and this. right? Because one is just for you to be seen by people. One is just so that you can be so immersed in yourself and in your own physique or the improvements that you're making. Listen, there are so many little things that people do that you would not even, you don't even think that it has anything to do with pride. You don't even think that it has anything to do with just lack of contentment with the Lord, right? But I can't stress to you enough that verse. I'm going to read it to you again. In In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You know, that small verse right there can teach us volumes. The Lord can teach us so many volumes through that, because he's saying, I've given on the inside of you, I have put everything that you need for life and for godliness. I have given you everything. And I sacrificed my one and only son in order to be able to provide all of that for you. And the Lord is saying, you know what? I want you to learn to allow me to be your sufficiency. And I'll stop there with that thought, because I think that's something really important, and not just for me, but I think for all of us to think about, right? It's something that I've been thinking about for days and days, but I think it's something good for all of us to think about, right? Can we say with all certainty, right, Lord, you're my sufficiency? And you know what? If he's not your sufficiency yet in an area, do you want him to be? Or are you going to say, you know what? I hear what you're saying, Pastor Jose, but you know what? Right now, where I'm at is I'm just going to look for my own sufficiency in this area. But just remember, though, the difference is that one adds sorrow with it and the other one doesn't, right? One adds sorrow with it and the other one doesn't. When you add things to your own life, right, sorrow is added with that, right, because you're doing it yourself. When you allow the Lord to add all things to you, you know what, whether that be finances, whether that be things that you need, desires of your heart, a spouse, if you need a spouse, right, whatever it is that you need, if you allow the Lord to be the one that add it, you know what, it won't be a source of dissatisfaction, or that's probably a bad word. In other words, you'll still have your sufficiency in the Lord, but when you allow the Lord to be the one to add these things to you, whether they be financial, relationships, or otherwise, right? The difference is that it doesn't add sorrow with it, right? In other words, you can go from being single to being married, and you know what? Your rejoicing in the Lord is still the same. Your desire for God is still the same. Now it's even better. Because now, even when your heart is a little out of it, now you have a mate next to you who's encouraging you in the Lord, right? Because you're not out to what you can supply to one another, right? In other words, it's not about what you can get from one another, I should say, but it's what you can give to one another.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.